Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house. Sideline. Pylon. Touchdown. And the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome into the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler. Join alongside my co-host, Aaron Murray. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Drew Butler. Aaron, of course, is at Aaron Murray 11. And head on over to puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Don't look now, but I went 4-1 once again against the spread on my picks last week. Yeah, I have posted those on to puntandpass.com, so go check it out. Keeps you up to date on where Aaron and I are at during the weekend action. And Aaron, you are at Aaron Murray 11, and I just absolutely love what you have been posting with some play breakdowns on your Instagram at Aaron Murray 11. So go check Aaron out for sure. We have so much to talk about on this episode. Georgia taking care of business in a big way, 56-7 on the field. Stet the Jet, the mailman, having just an absolutely unbelievable day. 10-12, 288 yards, 5 touchdowns. Oregon knocks off number 3, Ohio State 35-28. Texas A&M gets out of Denver with a scare against Colorado. They beat them 10-7. Notre Dame gets away with one. A lot to talk about, Aaron. Florida, we're going to discuss a little bit of everything,
Arkansas,
but how are you, man? Arkansas, holy cow, yeah. What's
Where
going on, bro?
Where did that come from?
Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, it was a great weekend. I thought that Kentucky-Missouri game, same with the SEC theme a little bit, the Kentucky-Missouri game was absolutely phenomenal. Shoot, Tennessee, you know, making the comeback. There's a lot of really interesting quarterback storylines as we head into this third week of the season.
Sure.
Tennessee with theirs, Florida with theirs. A team that really played extremely well was Mississippi State beating NC State. That was a great game. And there was a lot of, at least for me, worry heading into this weekend. If I'm an SEC fan of, okay, you know, the big boys are going to take care of business, but could Arkansas beat Texas?
Yep.
Could South Carolina beat East Carolina? Could Tennessee beat Pittsburgh? Could Mississippi State beat NC State? I'm like, crap, there's going to be a lot of noise after this weekend about, oh, the SEC's not that good.
Yeah.
They're overrated. It's just Georgia and Alabama and everyone else is okay. Not the case at all. Arkansas's win was huge for the SEC.
Huge.
South Carolina's win, I know it's East Carolina, but still, you don't want to lose that ball game. They've managed to pull it out. And then I thought the biggest one was Mississippi State beating NC State, a good NC State team. I don't think anyone was expecting Tennessee to win that game. It's good the fact that they fought,
for sure,
made it close, made it a one-score game. But overall, huge win for the SEC this weekend.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt knocked off Colorado State 24-21. So showing a little bit of that depth across the conference, which is obviously pretty good. And you look across and you see the Big Ten with Ohio State just falling flat on their face against Oregon. Then the Pac-12 looks to be good, and Stanford whips up on USC. So USC, one of the top 15 teams in the country, goes down as well. What's that?
I said that hurts the Pac-12.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I agree with you.
That's not good for that conference. The fact that USC was supposed to be kind of the leader, and now all of a sudden Clemson, who I was bashing after the loss to Georgia, is kind of sitting back saying, okay, well, maybe we're back in this thing.
Yeah,
because
already,
all of a sudden the Big Ten has some questions about, you know, their top dog lost this weekend. So now they, you know, we'll see if someone else can run the table in that conference. And the Pac-12, their top dog lost. So unless UCLA goes undefeated, they're going to have a one-loss team in the Pac-12. So yeah, Clemson is feeling a little bit better after that shaky start to the season versus Georgia.
Yeah, and Oklahoma won 76-0. That is just insane. We don't have to break that game down, but that is a wild score.
I had a feeling they were going to show up after that, now that week one lackluster performance.
Pretty interesting nonetheless. You mentioned a lot of quarterback storylines, and we'll get there. Let's dive right into the Georgia news. Okay, so obviously JT Daniels didn't play. We recorded our episode on Thursday, and you and I were discussing, will he play, will he not play, you know, oblique injury, get out there, maybe get a couple of series in, then hit the bench and get ready for South Carolina. A lot of conflicting information started coming out late Friday afternoon. It was being reported that JT was not going to play. So then it was, who's going to play, Carson or Stetson? Now, after fall camp, you heard so much about Carson Beck becoming more acclimated to college football, showing a lot of positive signs throughout camp, being solidified as the number two QB. And then it's like, hey, we're going to play Stetson Bennett. So there were two conflicting pieces of information. Some were saying Carson Beck's going to start. Others were saying Stetson Bennett's going to start. I would love your thoughts as to how the decision was made. And then tell me this. Do you think, with the conflicting information, do you think that Todd Monken wanted to play Carson Beck, and then Kirby Smart came in at the last minute and said, we're going to play Stetson. He's more familiar with the offense. He started five games for us a year ago. We want a fast start. Or do you think this is a situation where, you know, Monken and Kirby kind of were at odds, and then Kirby made the final say before game time? How do you think that happened with all the information that was coming out?
See, I don't know. I mean, you know, going to scrimmages and hearing reports too and watching the team, Carson was the number two guy. Yeah. So if he's the number two guy, why wasn't he starting this game when JT's out?
Yeah.
And if he has a chance to be the future quarterback, this was the perfect game to put him in.
Exactly.
I mean, you're going against,
look to the future.
Look to the future, get him reps, get him acclimated, see what he can do starting a football game in Sanford Stadium. See how he looks, see how he handles the pressure.
Yeah.
And because you knew at the end of the day that, listen, if he craps the bed in the first quarter, you got Stetson. And plus, you're playing UAB. You're going to dominate. You know you're going to dominate. You are going to win this game big, regardless of who the quarterback's going to be. So get the young kid reps. Give the kid who could be the starting quarterback next year an opportunity to play. So I'm still scratching my head of why this decision was made to put Stetson in. I love Stetson. He had a tremendous game. 10 to 12, five touchdowns. I mean, it's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah.
I love it. But it doesn't help Georgia for the future at all.
Would you consider that to be quarterback mismanagement as far as how recruits are going to look at it?
Get a kid reps, get film, and see how he does without, you know, he played the first series, it was three runs and he's out. Then you put, you know, Bennett back in.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm Carson, I'm a little ticked off. And I was talking to Shock a little bit about it yesterday, and I think there was some frustration from Carson Beck a little bit on the sideline.
Well, of course,
anticipation of, I'm going to be the starting quarterback this week. I'm going to get to go out there and show, you know, the fans and everyone what I can do. And you put Stetson in, and like I said, we know what we're going to get from Stetson. Stetson played last year. You know who Stetson is.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Stetson is not going to be possibly the starting quarterback for Georgia for the next 2-3 years. Carson has it.
I know. So how was that decision made? Like that's my question.
Vander
to you.
Griffin there than Stetson, honestly.
Yeah. For the future,
an opportunity to play football that is going to be competing for this job in the next year. So I don't know. I like I said, I can understand if they were playing Florida or Kentucky,
yes,
or Missouri,
okay,
and there's a thought of, okay, this game is going to be tight. We know that Stetson can win this game. We feel comfortable with him. We'll put him in there. They are going to blow UAB out. Why are you not putting in a future quarterback? So I don't know. I honestly have no idea why this decision was made. I'm still shocked about
it. So do you think, I mean, I guess my original question would be, do you think Monken wanted to play Carson Beck, hence the number two on the depth chart coming out of camp, all the positive storylines that happened, and then at the last minute, Kirby came in and said, no, let's just start Stetson. Let's get out of here with a quick victory. And I don't think anybody, probably Stetson included, expected him to go 5 for 5 with 5 touchdowns to start the game. I guarantee you that was playing into some of the frustration from Carson Beck. I mean, obviously, he's excited for his teammates. Obviously, he's excited because Georgia took care of business in a huge way. But you know there was some frustration around Carson Beck on the sidelines when Stetson's setting records right in front of his face going, man, that could have been me.
Well, especially when you look at the defense. I mean, holy smokes, those guys were running yeah, wide open. I mean, it's so funny. If you go back and watch the film, especially the coach's copy, where you can see these DBs, literally the receiver's running by the DB and he hasn't gone out of his back pedal yet. And it's like, it looks like he's in quicksand. I'm like, oh my goodness, this kid is still in his back pedal and the Georgia receiver's 5 yards past him already.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just bad football. I was not expecting that piss poor of a defense from UAB. I knew Georgia was going to be able to score points, but I'm not kidding. It looked like JV football defenders out there trying to cover these receivers. It was awful to watch if I'm a UAB fan at all. Just the lack of speed. And Georgia took advantage of it. I mean, over and over again, they're playing man. They're playing some sort of cover four, which essentially turns into man coverage. And they just could not handle what Georgia was bringing on the outside. It was great for the offense to go out there and do their thing. It was great to get some of the confidence for some of these younger receivers. Brock Bowers continues to
awesome storyline there for sure,
showing off his speed. Byrne looked good. Smith with some speed, obviously on the long touchdown. Mitchell. So this was a great pump me up game, and maybe that's why they went with Stetson at the end of the day. Is, hey, we want to just get these receivers some confidence. And we know that Stetson's going to be able to deliver on that, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it was Kirby's decision. I don't know if it was Monkey's decision. I don't know if maybe both of them decided at the last minute to give the ball to Stetson and make him the starting quarterback. I'm just saying I don't agree with it. In a game you know you're going to dominate, look to the future a little bit.
Yeah, and now as you look to the future, I hate to even bring this talking point up, but do you expect Carson Beck to be on Georgia's football team next year? I mean, Gunnar Stockton's another 5-star quarterback who's going to be coming in. You know, we're all in group texts, and people like to, you know, poke fun and have fun around Georgia football games. And some of the texts that I got this past weekend were, expect Carson Beck to transfer, and then in 2 years, he's going to beat Brock Vandegrift for a national championship.
He's just better than Brock. He's better than Brock.
And, well, at this point. I mean, Brock's been in school for 5 months.
I'm just saying, from a pure passer standpoint, he is significantly better of a thrower. Obviously, he's not the athlete that Brock is. So I guess it's depending on where you see this offense building to. But it's still, you know, Todd Monken is a NFL mentality. He wants a quarterback that can make all the throws.
For
and
sure.
I'm not sold on the fact that Brock can make all the throws in the playbook compared to what Carson's able to deliver.
Not yet. I don't think that's expected yet.
No. But you can tell, though, if a kid has it or doesn't have it. Like you,
100%.
I've seen enough quarterbacks and I've watched enough film to know if a kid has, you know, it's just a lack of playing time and that's the only issue, or if it's just a lack of just God-given natural talent. And Carson's not lacking talent. He's lacking playing time.
Yeah.
I think Brock Vandegrift may be lacking arm talent along with playing time.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, again, as a true freshman, you would expect that, certainly. This is going to be interesting to watch. I mean, is JT healthy enough to play against South Carolina? It seemed like he was okay. He was on the sidelines. He was excited for his teammates as well. But those oblique injuries, especially if you're a quarterback, I mean, that is one that might stick around, and I would hope that he continues to get the rehab and gets healthy along the way, and then as you step into the SEC schedule, as Georgia opens up conference play this upcoming weekend hosting South Carolina, you know, you're going to need JT to be in there. And I think, look, Kirby after the game said Stetson's a guy who does the duty that lies nearest. And we all understand that there are no coincidences, but I don't think a lot of people expected him to start. Roddy Nabulsi from UGA Sports, he certainly hit the nail on the head. People were ripping into him on Friday when he was like, I think Stetson Bennett's going to start the football game. And everybody's going, well, why wouldn't Carson Beck, after he was named the number two on the depth chart coming out of fall camp? But look, when it was time to kick it off, Kirby handed the keys over to Stetson. Stetson gets off to the best start imaginable. And again, I would have to think that played into some of Carson's frustrations, being so close to finally have the chance to start a football game, have the chance to get that experience under his belt. And then it gets ripped away from him right before kickoff, and Stetson goes 5 for 5 with 5 touchdowns. So this is a storyline to continue to watch. I do like how they aired it out right out of the gates, explosive plays. I expected them to run the ball more, especially with the uncertainty at quarterback, but look, they took care of business. In the past, that has not necessarily been Georgia's MO, to take care of business in such a convincing fashion, especially after a big game like they had a week ago against Clemson. So it was great to see Georgia continue to trend upwards from week one to two. You can't say that about some other teams across the country and within the conference. Ohio State, obviously, they got out of a really tough situation last week with the kickoff against Minnesota. I thought they were going to come home with a lot of rest and take care of business against Oregon, and they just didn't. They looked pretty poor, to be 100% honest with you. And then we also discussed Texas A&M.
Well, Oregon was missing their best player, Thibodeau, on defense.
One of the best players in the country.
And I mean, listen, I thought C.J. Stroud played phenomenal, especially in the second half. A little bit of a slow start, but he looked good there in the second half, gave them opportunities. We know how good, you know, Smith and Olave and Wilson are at the receiving position. I mean, they offensively is not the issue for Ohio State. They're going to be able to score points. Defensively was atrocious.
Yeah.
Verdell, the running back for Oregon, just went right through them. 8.1 yards per rush. You are not going to win big time football games if you're giving up 8.1 to him. 7.1 total is what Oregon was rushing for in that game.
Yeah.
Per rushing attempt. 7 yards a pop. And then Brown played well. I mean, offensively, Oregon did what they want. I mean, it seemed like Ohio State, they'd go down there, score. Okay, one score game. They're going to do it. They're going to make a comeback. And then Oregon would just go right down the field like it was nothing. So to me, championship type offense for Ohio State, not even close defensively to being competitive.
Yeah.
And that's not a good sign, because you knew what Oregon was going to do. They just lined up and ran the football.
Oh, yeah.
Ran the football. And Ohio State just got bullied up front. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, because Penn State's playing right now. Obviously, Penn State has a big game versus Auburn this weekend.
That'd be great.
There's some other good teams in that conference. So not a good look for the Big Ten overall right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And when you're missing Kayvon Thibodeau, one of the best, probably a top five pick in the NFL next draft, I mean, everybody was leaning Ohio State, us included. And they obviously needed that win in a big way, not only for themselves, but for the Big Ten also. So we'll see how that plays out as the season continues on. You mentioned Florida. We're going to touch on their kind of quarterback situation coming up here in just a minute. Texas A&M, Haynes King goes out with a lower leg injury, and then they get out of Dodge with a late touchdown to beat Colorado 10-7. So one of the teams, I don't know what their situation is going to look like moving forward, but one of the teams that you would expected to give Alabama maybe a run, not looking great. Ole Miss, though. Ole Miss is looking like a team. That defense, man, is playing some ball right now. And Matt Corral, it's going to be a fun one to kind of keep your tabs on.
Let's take it down a notch.
Okay.
Defense really balling out right now.
Well, I'm even more so talking about Louisville last week. I mean, those guys were swarming to the ball.
Louisville,
they were,
too. I mean, I don't think Louisville's a bunch of ball busters. Listen, their defense is improved. Don't get me wrong. They're better. And that's all we wanted. We just want Ole Miss defensively to just get a little bit better. I mean, that's a defense that was, you know, 115 to 125 in most categories, and there's only 128 teams in college football. That's not good defensively.
No, it's not.
All we need them to do is get to, like, you know, in the 70s or 80s, and if the offense keeps pace of what they're doing last year, this could be the number two team in the SEC West based on what we've seen from A&M the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, what we've seen from LSU. I like Mississippi State a ton. I think that's a really good football game. I think that's going to be a really good game between them and Ole Miss later on the season. But right now, I'd give the edge to Ole Miss.
Matt, I think so, too.
That offense, and then the defense is playing better. I would give them, if anyone right now, and this is shocking to me because I thought it was going to be A&M, and I thought maybe LSU. If anyone could give Alabama troubles this year, it's most likely, once again, going to be Ole Miss from the West. Not SEC total, but from the West. because we saw what happened last year, their offense having their way, and it just, they couldn't stop Alabama at all. So that game's getting more and more interesting every single week.
No doubt. Georgia stays at number two in the AP top 25. They get three first place votes. How about that? Alabama, of course, number one. Oklahoma jumps up to number three. Oregon all the way up to number four after that big time victory at Ohio State. And Iowa. Wow. Iowa looks solid. I mean, they forced a ton of turnovers. Brock Purdy for Iowa State, three interceptions. But watch out for the Hawkeyes. They are at number five right now. Clemson's at six. A&M bounces back to number seven. And you mentioned that Penn State Auburn game coming up this weekend. Auburn's ranked 22. Penn State is ranked 10. Florida's at 11. And you wanted to talk about their quarterback situation, because if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Dan Mullen seems to be leaning more so towards Anthony Richardson. This will be an interesting one, because I believe Florida plays Alabama this weekend. I mean, they got to figure that out. That is not a game you want to go into.
I was just shocked Anthony Richardson didn't really get a ton of playing time in the game. And, you know, to me, watching week one and then watching this past weekend, every time he's in the game, good things happen.
With Anthony Richardson.
Richardson. I was texting C-Rob about the situation. He's like, dude, he does that stuff every single day in practice. And I just don't know if Dan Mullen just doesn't feel comfortable with the entire playbook with him yet or what. But I'm just saying, every time Anthony Richardson is in the game at quarterback, good things happen. He's running the football. Another big time 80-yard run this week for a touchdown. The throws he's making. I mean, he was rolling out to the left one play and threw an absolute 40-yard dime to the sideline with guys in his face. I don't know if you saw in the pregame, he's doing somersault backflips. And I'm like, this guy is just a freak of an athlete.
Absolute
freak. And then you look at Emory. And you know, Emory looked a little bit more comfortable until the second half. Then he started forcing balls down the field. Two really bad interceptions. Should have been a third interception, actually, in the end zone, which is crazy. Anthony Richardson brought them into the 10-yard line, and then you take him out and put Emory in the game. I'm like, what are we doing here?
That's
like,
bizarre.
Give the kid an opportunity to see if he could be the starting quarterback for Florida. Obviously, Emory is not going to win you the big games. And I know Dan Mullen loves Emory. Emory stuck it out. Emory may be his guy. But the problem is now the locker room sees this. The locker room sees Anthony Richardson falling out.
Oh, yeah. No
question.
The locker
room sees Emory Jones not doing his thing and turning the football over.
Yep.
So now you're going to start causing issues within the locker room if you don't make this decision or make the change to put the best quarterback on the field, or at least give him more of an opportunity. Emory, 14-22, 22 attempts to throw the football. Anthony Richardson, 3-for-3 with actually more yards, 152. You only gave him three opportunities.
Yeah.
And he was perfect on all of them. Give the kid a chance to go out there and prove that he could be the starting quarterback, because right now, Emory is not going to win you the big ones.
You bring up a great point as far as the locker room seeing what's going on. And when Emory is turnover prone and you bring him into the red zone, the team's got to be going, what are we doing right now? Like, let's put the ball in the end zone, have a little bit of consistency. I think those situations where you're swapping quarterbacks in and out during a drive kind of probably lowers the confidence of the players that are on the field. Like, what are we doing, man? He just got us all the way down here. How are you going to pull him and then put the guy in who's turned the ball over a couple of times in the game? That's interesting. So that is one that I think you're going to see. If Dan Mullen continues to play that way, Alabama ain't going to have any sort of, you know, you think they're going to respect Anthony Richardson from a pass game perspective if he's at quarterback for Florida this weekend? Absolutely not. I mean, Alabama is going to be ready to, you know, absolutely take care of business. This game is at the Swamp. It's the 3:30 CBS game coming up this weekend. Alabama, an early 15.5-point favorite on the road. Georgia, a 30-point favorite right now against South Carolina. You would lay 30 points. I think that's an insane amount of points for a conference game.
I don't think South Carolina is going to be able to score in Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's defense is proven to be pretty damn stout.
I don't think South Carolina is going to be able to score on Georgia.
I love it.
At all.
Number 22, Auburn.
It could be 30-0.
Yeah. There you go. Number 22, Auburn heads up to State College to take on Penn State. That's the 7:30 p.m. ABC game coming up this weekend. So we got a pretty good slate looking towards week three. Cincinnati, Indiana. I know Indiana lost in week one, but that's a game that I think you should watch out for. And then Nebraska, Oklahoma, throwing it back to the Big 12 days. That's going to be a noon game in Norman on Fox. One more thing. We haven't necessarily touched on it. You said your lock of the week was Texas. You were adamant on Steve Sarkisian being able to scheme some stuff up, have those Longhorns running around free. I stopped you in your tracks and said, didn't you just say that this is the first sold-out game at Razorback Stadium since 2017? It's an old Big 8 matchup. I go, I just like the vibes around Arkansas. And boy, did they whoop up on Texas. Good for Coach Pittman. I always say this, though. When you look at Arkansas, Barry Odom as the defensive coordinator, Kendall Briles as the offensive coordinator. You've got head coaches on that coaching staff that get these guys ready to play. You know, I know Arkansas is coming to Athens later on in the season, but that's a game right there where Georgia's going to have to wake up a little bit instead of everybody just looking towards the schedule and saying Georgia's got such an easy schedule.
I mean, it was just running performance. I know we talked earlier about Oregon and their ability to run versus Ohio State. Arkansas dominated the line of scrimmage. Yeah. I mean, they pushed Texas around like a little B word out there in the football game. They really showed that, hey, this is SEC football. I mean, 7.1 yards per carry, 333 total rushing yards in the game. KJ Jefferson played really well. He looks like a little mini Cam Newton to me. And I don't even know if he's mini. How big is KJ Jefferson? He's wearing the one. He's super mobile. Great runner. 6'3", 245.
I mean, he's that's stout.
An inch or two shorter than Cam. Runs the ball well. He's a decent thrower. Okay thrower. Not, you know, super, super intimidating. But the issue is he's going to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities on the outside because of the fact they run the ball so effectively with him, Smith, A.J. Green, Sanders. I mean, this rushing attack and that offensive line just kicked Texas's butt. And then defensively for Arkansas, I love what they did. They mixed it up. They brought pressure when they needed to bring pressure. A lot of drop eight and just said, you know, we dare you to run the ball. And Texas could not run the football at all. Hudson Card missed a ton of opportunities down the field, which was unfortunate for Texas. But what a huge win for Arkansas. And it was really good to see. I was like, this is awesome. The fans were rushing the field. But I'm like, it's still COVID time. I don't know if I want fans rushing the field right now. And you know, who knows what could happen when it comes to testing and all that crap.
Man, I didn't even think about that. But you're right. Hopefully they're all vaccinated. I'm assuming that the majority of them are. It seems like that's been a pretty big talking point for SEC teams coming straight from Commissioner Sankey's mouth. But Arkansas heading to Athens week after next on October 2nd. So that's going to be, in 3 weeks. That's going to be a big game. Look at Georgia's schedule right now. I mean, number 20, Arkansas, then at number 22, Auburn, and then home versus Kentucky. I would expect Kentucky to probably sneak into the top 25 by that point as well. So it could get pretty interesting. Anything on the way out, my man? I mean, I know we had a bunch to discuss. Week two is not the most exciting from a scheduling standpoint. Week three is going to be better. We're fired up for that. We're going to get back amongst it Thursday. I think we'll be in studio Thursday, Aaron. If you can fit that in your schedule, I'm looking forward to it.
Crazy week. I'm heading up to New York tonight. Got studio for CBS and then off to LA. I actually had a good game. I was actually disappointed that Utah lost. I have Utah versus San Diego State.
Oh, that's going to be a great
game. This weekend. It's going to be a great game. It would have been nice to see Utah beat BYU. First time BYU's won that game, I think, in 9 years.
Holy war.
Holy war. But still going to be a great game. Just this traveling, man. West Coast travel. Here we go.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Well, be sure to check us out on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. Aaron is at Aaron Murray 11. Head on over to puntandpass.com, and we will talk to you on Thursday. For Aaron, I'm Drew. See you.
Don't forget to download the Southern Sports Today app. You can listen to this and every show on podcastpark.com or wherever you get your podcast needs.